Our scripture reading comes this morning from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, or verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, and it does not boast. It is not proud, and it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it does not dishonor others. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, there will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in the part, we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, that is part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see the face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This ends the reading.
Thank you, Jamie. Yesterday, my daughter came home after being at the church, and I didn't recognize her. She had on a green homecoming dress, no glasses. Her hair had been all done up. She had these beautiful eyelashes. Her nails were done, and I thought, wow, she's beautiful. She's beautiful all the time, but this was a new level of beauty that I'd never seen in her before. So, yes, I agree, Jamie. We do have wonderful people here who can make the homecoming parties feel very special. So thank you if you were part of that. My name's Pastor Rick Tetau, and I'll be offering the message today. Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, too bad the kids aren't still here. They know these names. Han Solo, Chewbacca, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda, and Darth Vader. What movie do these characters come from? Star Wars, right. These were the characters in the movie Star Wars that I came to know after my dad took me to see the original movie in theaters back in the 1970s. In the movie Star Wars, a Jedi apprentice is trained by a Jedi master. A Jedi master teaches the apprentice to use an invisible source of energy called the Force. The Jedi code demands that the Jedi always use the Force for good. The temptation to use the Force for selfish reasons leads one into the dark side. This December, the next chapter in the Star Wars saga will appear on the big screen, to which I will take my children to go see, like my dad did with me. The new Star Wars movie is called The Force Awakens. I find the name of this movie interesting. It implies that the Force is about to once again make a comeback into the struggle for good. It makes me wonder, is the church about to make a comeback into our world's struggle for good? The numbers show that the church is in a slow, steady decline. Will this be the year that the church awakens? It will be if we open our hearts to the wonderful gift of God's love and if we share God's love with the world. Last week, we are in the middle of a two-week sermon series. Last week, we heard that God's love is patient. Patience is having self-control in difficult situations. God's love is kind. Kindness is being pleasantly considerate to others. And lastly, we heard that God's love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. In other words, love trusts. This week, I will talk about some of the remaining qualities that the Apostle Paul uses to describe God's love. The next thing that Paul says is that love does not insist on its own way. Love is unselfish. Being unselfish doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less. People who insist on their own way think highly of themselves. Margaret Thatcher commented on people who think highly of themselves when she said, Being in power is like being a lady. If other people need to remind you, if you have to remind people that you are, you aren't. Who are some of the most selfish people in the world? Arguably, and for good reason, infants, babies. Very selfish. And for good reason, babies need to be selfish to survive. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child." Eugene Peterson actually uses the word infant in his translation. It says, "When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways." So Paul compares our faith journey to a person growing into maturity. People who grow in their faith become less selfish and more mature. Again, Paul is not saying being childish in faith is bad or wrong. New Christians need time to learn and grow in their walk with the Lord. What Paul is saying, and I agree, is that we can't stay in the infant stages of our faith development. At some point, we need to take baby steps, crawl, walk, and run with the Lord. As Isaiah writes, "They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint." In our faith journey, we need to move from being selfish to self-giving. Being mature in faith means moving from a selfish heart to a serving heart. I want to take a moment to thank you for the way you showed your love in unselfish ways during our Imagine No Malaria campaign. Through the general offering, a children's message, the mission dinner, and the walk and roll, we raised $6,966.80. You saved 696 people from malaria. Well done, good and faithful servants. I sent the check this week and got a phone call from the West Ohio Conference, and I would like for you to hear what they have to say, too. As soon as my phone works, here we go.
My name is Dave Bowling, and I left this message on your church voicemail as well, but let me do so here. I just wanted to call and make sure you knew how much we appreciated, all of us appreciate your great contribution to Imagine No Malaria of nearly $7,000. Thank you so very much for that generous check, and it looks like you folks had a lot of fun and did a lot of different things to raise that money. I'd love to talk to you more about that sometime when we're both in the office. My number at the conference center is 614-844-6200, extension 247, and I'll be back in the office next week. But in the meantime, I wanted you to know so you could share with your congregation on Sunday how very much we appreciated all you've done for Imagine No Malaria. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and thank you for, on behalf of the children and mothers of Africa. Take care. Have a blessed week. Goodbye.
Isn't that nice? They took the time to call us and to thank us for all the work that we've done. That is unselfish love. Giving of your talents and resources are two ways that you can give. Another way that you can give to help others is by giving your time. Giving of your time is so important. Just spending time with people, listening to their stories, and celebrating their lives can make all the difference in the world. Last Sunday after worship, I was invited to a birthday party for Eleanor McClellan. She celebrated her 95th birthday. And on the invitation from her daughter-in-law, it said, "No gifts. Eleanor would just like your presence." And to me, those are one and the same. I think your presence is the greatest gift that you can give to somebody else. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is unselfish. The next thing that the Apostle Paul says is that love is not irritable or resentful. In other words, love forgives. We all make mistakes. Love offers a second chance. In regards to people who are irritable and resentful, Jeffrey Henderson, a pastor at Buckhead Church, said, "The longer you hold a grudge, the longer the grudge has a hold of you." If anybody has ever done you wrong, then you know that forgiveness is very difficult. I read a story about an 18-year-old boy. He was a senior in high school. His name is Eric. Eric broke some company policies and was consequently fired from his job. He apologized to the CEO of the place where he worked, and he asked the CEO to reconsider. Since Eric had a contrite heart, the CEO asked to have his file reviewed and with no promises for reinstatement. Management asked Eric to take a test on company policies and procedures as a way of making sure that he understood what was expected of him. Eric's supervisor ended up giving him his job back with conditions. About 6 months later, still working for the same job, Eric wrote to the CEO who helped him. The CEO learned that Eric's income was the only reason his family could stay afloat financially. By averting a financial crisis, Eric was able to graduate from high school and join the Army. With military assistance, he will now be able to get a college education. Eric knew he made a mistake. He said the company's act of forgiveness was a turning point in his life. Second chances don't always have a happy ending. Some people make the same mistakes repeatedly. It's called being a human being. We make mistakes. When we are in a position where we have been offended or hurt, and we can offer forgiveness to somebody else, we need to remember our own shortcomings. We need to remember that God doesn't withhold forgiveness from us when we fall short of the glory of God, which all of us do. I just finished teaching a Bible study on the book of Numbers. Through all the hardships and struggles endured by the Israelites over 40 years, love finds a way. You can too. As a word of warning, if you withhold forgiveness from a person or a group who have wronged you, be aware of growing bitterness and resentment in your heart. Be aware that you are stripping away any chance of reconciliation. And be aware that without forgiveness, you limit God's power to heal and make new. One man said, resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Choosing to forgive is not an easy decision to make. Choosing to love can be difficult. It takes work and a lot of faith. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love forgives. Paul continues, love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Rudy Rasmus, this is his book, he is the pastor of St. John's United Methodist Church in Houston, Texas. He writes in this book, Love, period, truth is what sets us free to love God. When we are having trouble expressing love, naming what is blocking our freedom to love is an act of truth. Like water that is being clogged in a pipe with nowhere to go, once the object blocking the water is removed, the water can flow freely once again. He says that we all need somebody to whom we can speak truthfully about our feelings, fears, frustrations, marriage, and career. Pastor Rudy suggests that you find an honest friend who will objectively identify the things you do well, the things that you could do more of, and the things that you could do less of. Hearing the truth in love can greatly improve a person's attitude, energy, and overall well-being. One day, Pastor Rudy heard a truth from his daughter. She told him about a man who had violated her when she was a young girl. Because it had happened many years in the past, no criminal charges were brought against this man. Several years had passed, And happenstance had it that Pastor Rudy was in his truck at a red light, and he saw this man who had violated his daughter walking slowly and about ready to walk across the intersection right in front of his truck. In his book, he says, "I have a very large truck." He was very angry with this man, and to temper his anger, he called his daughter immediately, and she said, "Dad, I do not want to lose twice." So he took his foot off the gas and put it back on the brake. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Lastly, the Apostle Paul says, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." This is to say, love demands dedication. I'm going to try to pronounce her name, Malala Yousafzai. I know that's probably not correct, but you may know her. She has a new movie coming out. He named me Malala. She is an advocate for equal rights in education. Her family operates schools in a part of Pakistan that is controlled by the Taliban. After doing some interviews which brought attention to these issues, the Taliban sent a gunman to kill her and her father. On October the 9th, 3 years ago this week, Malala was shot in the face by a Taliban gunman. The bullet left her in critical condition. Her story has brought international attention to the educational rights of women and children. She was selected as the youngest recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. What she teaches us is how to respond to people who don't know love in their lives. In an interview, she was asked to imagine she was confronted by a terrorist. How would she respond to that terrorist? And she said, "I would tell him about the importance of education, and I would even advocate for his children and say, now do what you want." She teaches us about the importance of education and how to stand up for your rights. When she was threatened with insults and violence, she responds with love and peace. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love requires dedication. Let this be the year that the church awakens. Open your heart and mind to the wonderful gift of God's love and share this love with the world. Jesus said, "What good is it for a man to gain the world but lose his soul?" It seems to me that once you lose your soul, everything else starts to unravel. Without love, there is no purpose, no joy, no blessings. Agape love is putting your faith in God and doing what is right. God is the source of love. God's love is a gift to be shared with no strings attached. God's love is patient, no strings attached. God's love is kind, no strings attached. God's love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. God's love trusts, no strings attached. Love does not insist on its own way. God's love is unselfish, no strings attached. God's love is not irritable or resentful. God's love forgives, no strings attached. God's love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth, no strings attached. God's love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, no strings attached. God's love never ends, no strings attached. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love.